Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Monday, June 8, 2015. I am Jason Powell. TNA's Destination X comes up Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central on Destination America. Two TNA title matches will be held, and a new X Division champion is going to be crowned. One of the nine men with a chance to win that X Division championship is my guest today, Kenny King. Kenny, correct me if I'm wrong, is this your fourth, or potentially your fourth Ultimate X match?
No, let's see. This might be seven or eight.
Oh my gosh!
Potentially, yeah. We kind of did it a lot my first year.
Is it a match you look forward to?
It's a match that the fans absolutely love, and it's a fun match. It's something that you have to kind of dangerous for sure. So you always kind of have to have your head on a swivel. But it is It's not a match that I dread.
No, I ask that because, some guys would just prefer to have that straightforward wrestling match rather than work a match of this style. I mean, how difficult is the planning? In this case, I don't know about some of your others. In this case, it would be a three-way Ultimate X. I know there have been some even bigger matches before. I mean, is it compared to the planning of a usual match? I mean, how much time can go into this?
It just depends on how many people are involved, you know what I mean? How many moving parts. It's the main thing is, obviously safety. And so just depending on how many moving parts and how many people have to get home safely,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh no, I mean it's just never whenever you have 150, 200 pound dudes suspended, 15, 20 feet in the air, it's always a propensity for a lot to go wrong,
Absolutely, yeah. Now, before your last return, we started seeing a lot of the King of the Night vignettes. And were you originally going to be positioned as a singles act, or was that kind of the way they just established you heading into Beatdown Clan?
It's just kind of a way that they wanted to bring me back. It's just how the best things in pro wrestling usually are. The whole Beatdown Clan and the whole thing with myself, MVP, and Lashley, it just happened organically. And that's how, that's just the best way to go about with things, especially pro wrestling.
And going way back now, you were one of the four finalists in the second season of Tough Enough. Do you look back on that experience positively, or do you have any regrets about not taking a different path to get into the business?
No way. I mean, how could there be any negativity about Tough Enough? I mean, I was able to be trained for the best professional wrestlers in the world, get WWE training. You know what I mean? That's something that guys dream about, And so when I talk about to some of my brothers in business, and we talk about like how we broke in and things like that, like it's that experience alone was absolutely amazing to me. I got to be on MTV, so the outcome of it was, is what it is, but as far as the experience and just it was a gift. It was the ability to start in the middle, just based off of what I did with Tough Enough versus starting at the very, very end. So it's what got me in love with filming. It got me in love with the wrestling business, so I can't complain about it.
Yeah, and did you form a bond back at that time with now TNA executive John Gabork? Did you guys come in contact quite a bit on that show?
Absolutely. We it's just funny because at one point or another in this run of TNA, I've worked with almost all of the people that I worked with in Tough Enough. Al, Chavo, now Big. So yeah, Big and I, and that was the thing about the whole Tough Enough experience. And I guess maybe only the people that have gone through it can attest to. We formed bonds with everybody. We spent a whole lot of time with Al and Chavo and Big. So we all are, we all, anytime we see each other, we're like family. So it's definitely a good thing to be working with guys that established, helped me get myself established in the business.
And it was kind of surprising at the time that WWE didn't win, but you were one of the four finalists. I just thought they'd bring you into the fold in some fashion. But you ended up going the independent route. Was that something they encouraged you to do at the time, just to go get more seasoning and then come back? Or was it just kind of, hey, you run on Tough Enough, it's over, good luck?
I tell you what, it was kind of a little bit of both. Because there was
obviously quite a bit of controversy about the, you know, the, how the whole thing ended up. And, but this is kind of what goes back to what we were talking about before. I'll never forget, maybe I was a year after Tough Enough, maybe a year and a half or so, and I'd sent some stuff to Al and the Big, and they were coming into Vegas, and I wanted, you know, I wanted a shot. I wanted an opportunity to come, you know, to work. And Al and Big, both at this time, they were saying, no, you're not ready. And I was pissed. Like, wait, what do you mean I'm not ready? First off, I should have won Tough Enough. And now, you know, I've gotten some experience. You tell me not ready. So that was a little bit of tough love. And but it was also the truth. Like, you only get one chance to make it, to make a real good, you know, to make a first impression. So I would have much rather had my first time that WWE took a look at me when I was a little more seasoned. And just the kind of the way that things worked out with just the indies and Ring of Honor, that's just, it just never really, it wasn't an opportunity that really ever came back around. I was at SmackDown, I did one loop of SmackDown in Raw, I think in Florida, but that was years and years and years ago. So it just wasn't one of those things where that door has just been put in my face a lot of times since then.
You mentioned your run in Ring of Honor. Would you say that is where you really started? I mean, I know you worked in TNA prior to that, and you did some Full Impact Pro along with the ROH, but is that where things started coming together for you as a wrestler? I mean, I think that's where, it seems like that's where people really started taking notice of Kenny King rather than Kenny from Tough Enough.
Absolutely. That whole thing, that whole time in Ring of Honor was so special. If you look, you know, people talk about the initial era of Ring of Honor and with AJ and Christopher Daniels and Loki, and by no question, that was a very special age, a very special time. It was something new and trailblazing. But I personally feel like that time in Ring of Honor, 2008 to 2010, 11, was the legitimate defining age when you have Brian, Tyler, Jerry Lynn, Nigel, King, the Wrestling, the Briscoes. I mean, just the amount of talent, you know, the Wolves, Eddie and Davey, the amount of talent that was coming through and flowing through those cards at that time, it was sink or swim. And if you want to be noticed on that card, and you want to be noticed on a card with Davey Richards and Tyler and Kenny Omega versus Brent Albright and Claudio Castagnoli, then you have to be able to step your game up. And that's all I really felt like I needed to do to be noticed. And clearly it was working.
And what's your take on your old company, ROH, now serving as a lead-in for Impact? Of course, Impact airs Wednesday nights on Destination America at 8, and you've got Ring of Honor airing before and after you guys.
I'm in the professional wrestling business. I'm a pro wrestling fan. So anything that brings more quality wrestling to a larger group of fans so that people can see that, you know, it isn't just one company that makes up the entirety of professional wrestling. There are different styles and different stories and different characters. So as long as that is happening, then I'm all for it. I have absolutely no ill will toward Ring of Honor. I still love Ring of Honor and the people that are there, you know. So it's a great thing for them, for us, and in the industry in general, that there's another place that's good enough to be on national television.
Well, and you mentioned no ill will. I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of sour grapes when you left the company for TNA in 2012, and your contract was up, and you were free to leave, but they had put the tag titles on you and Rhett Titus. Looking back now, any regrets about the way you left the company?
No, there wasn't any sour grapes. It was sour grapes with one person, and legitimately, and that's all it really was. It's there's never been any heat between myself and anybody who matters then or matters now, Ring of Honor. It was a business decision. It was strictly business. I can't stress enough how there was never any handshake deal or any I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. I have the utmost respect for Kerry Silken and the Ring of Honor tag team titles than anybody who's ever touched them and won before me. So it was a business move that was based solely on business, and ultimately that's all there is. You know, my Spanish uncle says negocio es negocio. That's all there is to it. So If one person took it personally, then, you know, I guess it's on them.
And now that they are the lead-in, if they're, you know, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, just started, but if there is any type of crossovers with wrestlers from TNA appearing in Ring of Honor or vice versa, would you have interest in being that guy that pops up back on your old television show, you know, representing TNA, showing up on Ring of Honor television?
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Myself, there's quite a few guys that, if it's more like world fantasy booking, if there was ever an invasion angle, there's people would line up to see that. Wouldn't people pay to see Rhett Titus get revenge on Kenny King if that's where the feeling needed to take it? So of course I would be interested in doing that, because it would make for great wrestling, it would make for great and entertaining programming, and it would be something that isn't done anymore. And it's something that fans that like stand on one side of the fence or the other. Oh no, I'm TNA. Oh no, I'm ROH. Then that brings everybody together, because we get to see one hell of a show that people thought we'd never be able to see. But again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. So,
last question, because I know you're on a tight schedule today. I had Rockstar Spud on last week and asked him what I want to ask you about. We've heard a lot of talk over the years from different people in TNA, including most recently Dixie Carter herself when she appeared on Steve Austin's podcast. All the talk about we want to rebuild the X Division, we want to bring it back to prominence. As an X Division wrestler, what do you feel the key is to making that happen, making it as prominent as it once was?
It has to be featured. It has to be absolute. It has to be. I mean, in the days of AJ, Chris, and Joe, it was a major part of the show. It was a goal that people attained to. They didn't want to attain the X Division Championship so they can go on to bigger and better things. The X Division Championship was the biggest and best thing in the mind of a lot of the roster at that point. So it has to just become prominent. If you know, it can't. That's just the key to it. It has to have weight again, and it has to. There has to be a group of people that are only competing for that, because that has to be the number one thing. So, it just has to. The importance and the weight of it. You know, back in those days, the X Division Championship was every bit as important as the TNA Heavyweight Championship. So. That's just what it needs. It just needs focus, and it needs the weight. If you look at the guys that are in X Division, it's entirely possible.
And maybe we'll begin Wednesday night, Destination X on Destination America, 8 p.m. Central Time, and, of course, the 10 Central replay of TNA Impact Wrestling. Kenny, I know you're busy, so thank you very much. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, sir. I did as well.